Give you praise. Your love carries me through all the Suddenly what's in front of me is bigger than what's behind me. And suddenly what's in front of me is bigger than what's behind me. And suddenly what's in front of me is bigger than what's behind me. 'Cause you're lifting my load. Yeah. And suddenly what's behind me is smaller than what's in front of me. And suddenly what's in front of me is bigger than what's behind me. And suddenly what's in front of me is bigger than what's behind me. 'Cause you're lifting my load.
As I dwell up here where the air is clear, where the light is bright, there's no more fear. I know my place, I know my name, I know you call me to do great things. As I dwell up here where the air is clear, light is bright, there's no more fear. I know my place, I know my name, I know you call me to do great things. As I dwell up here where the air is clear, where the light is bright. You call me your own.
never stepped in the pulpit before, on the platform before, without having a message. And I told the prayer team this morning as we were praying before coming out, this would be the first time, because this week I just felt like Holy Spirit was saying, just wait on me. Go ahead and have a seat for a minute. Have a seat. It's okay. Sit down. You can stand if you want. You don't have to do what I tell you to do. But it's the first time that this has happened to me, so he said, just wait. I'll take care of things Sunday. Not that he doesn't take care of things every Sunday, but it was one of those things that I was just uncomfortable with. I just didn't know how to handle it. Worship team, just stay here with me. And I just didn't know how to handle it, and I was just kind of uncomfortable all week. You know, if you're a preacher, if you're a teacher, if you're a pastor, if you're a speaker, then you would know it's uncomfortable to step up here without preparation. But I think what the Lord's speaking to me this morning is, I've already prepared you. It's not that we don't have to study. It's good to study. It's good to dig into the Word. You know, we talk about this all the time. But what if we rely on that too much? What if we rely on the preparation too much? What if we rely on that study too much? Instead of just relying on Holy Spirit to bring to life what is already inside of us. I don't know. Feels right to me. Feels like God to me. Feels like something he would say is, don't rely on the sword in your hand. Rely on the one who put the sword in your hand. Does that make sense to you? So I want to read something to you, because this is what I feel like the Lord's speaking, and I think he's speaking through several people today. The same word, maybe not in this way, but this is a scripture that I just really felt like he spoke to my heart. It's 1 John 4. I'm going to read two parts of it, and I'm going to emphasize a couple of these parts, and I want you to listen closely and then we're just going to pray for people this morning. This is what it says, dear friends. Verse 7. Dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. But anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only Son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. Can I just say that again? God showed how much he loves us by sending his one and only Son to the world so that we might have eternal life through him. This is real love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. This is real love. This is real love. You've been looking for real love? This is real love. If you don't experience this love, if you don't know this love, if you don't have this love deep inside of you, if you don't embrace this love, if you don't walk in this love and live in this love, if you don't know that you are loved, then that's not real love. That means you've been looking for love in all the wrong places. There's only one place you can find real love, and that is in God. Only one place, and that is in God. Well, I get real love from my spouse, or I get real love from my family. You get love from them, but real love comes from God. And that love may be good love, but that love is not great love. I don't know. I'm just going with what the Holy Spirit's telling me to say. I didn't prepare anything, so if you don't like it, don't blame me. I kind of like that. The pressure's off. Listen to what it says. Dear friends, since God loved us that much, we surely ought to love each other. Can I just stop and say that includes yourself? If God loved us that much, we surely ought to love ourselves. since he loved us that much, shouldn't we love each other and love ourselves as well? No one has ever seen God, but if we love each other, God lives in us, and his love is brought to full expression in us. You may have not have seen, how many have seen God with their eyes, with their physical eyes? You've seen God. Anybody? Okay, a couple people have seen God with their physical eyes. Most people don't see God physically with their eyes. In the spirit, yes. But this says, no one has ever seen God, but if we love each other, God lives in us and his love is brought to full expression. It is poured into us and out of us. Now listen to what it goes on to say. Furthermore, we have seen with our own eyes and now testify that the Father sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. All who declare that Jesus is the Son of God have God living in them, and they live in God. We know how much God loves us, and we have put our trust in his love. We put our trust in his love, not in each other, not in the sword that's in our hands, not in the word that we might have read this week, but in his love. We put our trust in his love. His word is good, and his word will stand forever. His word will never fade away. But his love is what we put our trust in. God is love, and all who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. And as we live in God, our love grows more perfect. So we will not be afraid on the day of judgment, but we can face him with confidence because we live like Jesus here in this world. Such love has no fear because perfect love expels all fear. If we are afraid, it is for fear of punishment. And this shows that we have not fully experienced his perfect love. If you're afraid you're going to be rejected, you don't know his perfect love. If you're so afraid you feel like you have to work for this, you don't know his perfect love. If you feel like you have to strive, you don't know his perfect love. If you feel like you're not good enough, you don't know his perfect love. If you feel like you're not worthy, you don't know his perfect love. And then it says this, we love each other because he first loved us. If someone says, I love God but hates his fellow believer, that person is a liar. For if we don't love people we can see, how can we love God whom we cannot see? And he has given us this command, those who love God must also love each other. So this is what I'm going to say to you. I think this is what God's speaking to us today. I think he's speaking his love to us. If you cannot accept the perfect love of God, if you cannot grab hold of the perfect love of God, if you cannot receive the perfect love of God, fully receive it, then you cannot step into all that he has for you. He has so much for you. He wants to pour so much out upon you. He wants to give you so much. He wants to set you free in ways you never could comprehend. But if you can't receive his love, you're not going to receive those things. You're going to live in this constant fear of trying to measure up, this constant fear of I have to make myself worth it. I have to work for this. This is what religion is all about. This is what legalism is all about. People work for the love of God. They strive for it. They strive to make themselves worthy of it. Oh, I know that Jesus died for me yet while I was a sinner, but I feel like I need to do these things so that he will continue to love me. No, God loves you. Here's the cool thing about this. It doesn't matter what you do, he loves you. You can never do anything to make him stop loving you. He loves you. And here's what I want you to get. I want you to see this morning. You're worth it. You're worthy. You're worthy. There are many people in this place you don't think you're worthy. Right now, right here, I feel it right now. So many people, chains are going to be broken this morning. You feel like you're not worthy. You feel like you're not worthy of his love. In fact, you said it. I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy. You've repeated that to yourself over and over again, and that's a lie from the enemy. You are worthy. You are worthy. So I'm going to pray for you this morning. If you believe that lie, if you felt that way, at any time, and that's been rooted in your life, you feel that way right now, you're having those lies of the enemy bombard your mind, I want you to stand right now. Come on, if you felt like you're not worthy, come on, stand, yeah, come on, stand. Feel like you're not worthy of his love. Feel like you have to work for it, you have to strive for it. Keep standing, come on. I'm going to read something to you. Stay standing. I'm going to read this to you. This is the definition of worthy. The definition of worthy is having worth or value. Many people feel like they don't have worth or value. Let me just clarify something for you. Because I know there are people still sitting because they're like, yeah, I'm worthy because Jesus made me worthy because he came in me. No, you were worthy before he came into you. Oh, come on. You were worthy before he came in. Before you received Jesus, you were worthy. Some of y'all are like, this is heresy. No, it's not. I'm going to give it to you right here in a minute, okay? This is the Word of God. Because the Word of God says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While you were a sinner, you were worthy of his love. I'm saying this to you because there's some people sitting here and thinking, when I sin, I'm not worthy anymore, and I get cast out of worthiness, and then I have to step back and work back into worthiness again. And when I repent, that makes me worthy again. No, you're worthy before you repent. See, because if you believe that lie, if you believe the lie that you're not worthy when you're in sin, if you believe the lie that you're not worthy when you commit a sin, then what the enemy's saying to you is you have to work for the worthiness. You have to work for this. It's something you can do. There's nothing you can do to earn his love. And if you realize that there's nothing you can do to earn his love, then you'll realize there's nothing you can do to dis-earn it. Are you hearing this? Come on, y'all. Some of you are sitting here still at this moment, and you've been living with this lie that I have to work for it. Every time I sin, I just take 10 steps backwards, and God doesn't love me anymore, or I'm not worthy of his love anymore. No, you're always worthy of his love. This is what someone once said. Everything is worth what its purchaser will pay for it. This is how worthy you are. This is how worthy you were before you accepted Christ. You were so worthy that God sent his only son to die for you. That's how worthy you were. That's how much you were worth. So come on, stand. If that's you, stand. Kim, come on up here. I'm going to pray for you, and then she's going to give you another word from the Lord this morning. So everybody standing, I just want you to lift your hands. Just lift your hands. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for your truth. I thank you for your truth. I thank you for the truth of your word, Jesus. Now, Father, in Jesus' name, we break every lie that we are not worth it. We break every lie. We break every lie that we are not worth it. Father, we receive the truth of your word that we are worthy of your love. If you're standing right now, I want you to say that. Say, Father, I know I'm worthy of your love. Say it again. If you're standing, say, Father, I know I'm worthy of your love. You can just whisper it. Father, I know I'm worthy of your love. I receive it, Father. I receive your love. Never again will I strive for it, Father. I just accept it. I accept that I am worth it. I accept that you love me that much, Father. I will not work for it evermore. Father, from now on, I just receive it, and I walk in it, and I live in it. Come on, say these things to Father. Live in it, Father. Thank you for it. Amen. 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 You can be seated. Come on, give him a hand. Thank you, Jesus.
So the two words that I keep hearing are the words exploration and discovery. Exploration and discovery. And I feel like that is exactly what life with Jesus is all about. I think the world would have us believe that it is burdensome and complicated. And we pick up the idea that religion becomes a list of all this stuff that we have to do. And I got to make time for this stuff, and I got to be sure I fill in all the blanks. And I think Jesus wants to erase that misconception, wants to dispel that lie this morning, and he wants us to understand that it's about exploration and discovery. It's about a shift in our perspective, because if we feel like it's about exploration and discovery, then excitement starts to build inside of our lives, in our hearts and our minds. There's this anticipation of, what will we see today? What will we discover today? What will we find today as we're journeying with Jesus? Instead of, oh, I got to get Jesus and strap him on my back and carry him around, and I have to live this way. And I know a lot of us do. I know I have lived that way myself in the past. And so Jesus showed a picture to me, and it's like, once you, as Bill was saying, you accept the fact that he loves you and there's not anything that you can do about it. You can't make him love you more. You can't make him love you less. He loves you exactly as you are. And I love that. The value of anything is determined by the price that is willing to be paid for it. So that's what determined your value. Not what you do, but what he said you were worth. And he said you were worth him. He said you were worth everything that he was, giving his entire life for you. So to me, it's in the, and I'm sorry for live stream, this is going to be kind of difficult, but to me, when you accept that truth and that reality, it's like you came out of this teeny tiny box that you had been trapped in, and you came out into this enormous grand space that is so vast that you cannot see the end of the horizon in any direction that you look. And I think for most of us, this is pretty much where we live right here. This is where we're staying. This is where we're camping. This is where we're building our life. It's just right here. We walk through the door and we're like, oh, this is amazing. This is great. This is beautiful. And we can still hear what's on the other side of the door. We can hear the lies of the enemy. We can hear the thoughts of society. We can hear the heartbeat of the culture. And sometimes we feel the pull of that. But he says, if you'll begin exploration, you'll have a life of discovery that will take you further and further and further away from your entry point, deeper and deeper and deeper into all the places that he has planned for you. And it's like, it's not that you are just thinking, okay, I've seen this room. Yeah, I've seen this room. I've seen this space. I've seen this area. No, then you're not really exploring. It's looking to find all of the little components that he has hidden for you along the way. It's stopping to inspect and discover what is in each little piece, because each little piece is so much bigger than you think it is. Nothing is insignificant. Nothing is consequential. Nothing is just, oh, wow, that's there. No, no, no. If you're following Jesus, every single thing in your life has been planted there by him for you to explore and discover. Discover his love for you. Because everything in your life is a result of his love for you. The plans he has for you, the goodness that he pours out on you, the faithfulness that he shows you. Your life isn't just happening to you and you're trying to grab Jesus in the mix of it. No, no, no. He's laying out, he's putting a table before you where he wants you to taste and see everything that's on the table. And he is so good and faithful that the fiery darts that the enemy is hurling into your story, he's like, oh, don't worry about that. I'm going to take care of that too. I'm going to turn what was intended to burn your life to the ground into this flame that consumes you of my goodness and my faithfulness. and you'll become this beacon of light that tells the world there's something greater and bigger than you ever imagined. And so it's like if you really just stop and think about all the things there are to see inside of this room, it would take you days and days and days, maybe even weeks, to discover as you inspect every little nuance of every brick that you see. And you feel the texture and you look down in the mortar and you look at how they're laid. Every brick is different. They have a lot of similarities, but every brick is different. As you begin to look at each chair, as you begin to go through the purse of every woman who's in this room, my goodness, what could you find? As you begin to look at the uniqueness of every person in this room, really inspecting, look at how long his ears are. Look at how enormous his nose is. Look at how beautiful her eyes are. And you begin to find the unique distinctions between each person. There's so much to see and discover. And this is just a metaphor of our spiritual journey. See, we think, okay, well, I gave my heart to Jesus, and here I am, and I'm just trying to do this thing, and I'm trying to be nice, and I'm trying to clean up my language, and I'm trying to be a good person, and it just becomes burdensome to you. And he said, oh, you're looking at this whole thing wrong. Get a new lens. Change perspectives. This thing is supposed to be exciting. This thing is supposed to be riveting. This thing is supposed to be like, you better buckle up. It's going to be so dynamic and powerful. It is going to be so energetic. It is going to be so magnificent that your hair is going to stand on end. And if that's not the life you're living, then you're not there yet. How do we get there? What does the exploration look like? How do we come upon the discovery where we begin to see all of the different things that he has laid out before us? How do I get a new lens so that I'm looking at things correctly and I can see the beauty and the treasure and the magnificence of every single thing that is showing up in my life? How do I get there? You have to spend time with him. That's where you start. I can't see what he sees if he doesn't show me what he sees. And the only way that he can show me what he sees is if I sit in his presence. I just got to soak. It's like I got to get in the hot tub. On this journey, sometimes I need to get in the hot tub and soak my tired and weary bones and just be in his presence. I'm not here to ask you for anything, Jesus. I'm not here to tell you anything. I'm just here to be with you. And just to let who you are wash over my soul. Just let the beauty of your presence envelop me. And just soak you in. That's not burdensome. That's discovery. And then there are times in the journey where I need to stop and investigate and inspect and get out my mining tools to see what type of jewels and treasures I can find there as I begin to pick my way through the Word. And see what he says about me and see what he says about who he is. See, if we're not reading the book, this whole thing just becomes wearisome and burdensome. It's when I dig into that as I'm finding things and seeing things that I'd never seen before that just change my perspective of everything. And all along the way, I'm talking and I'm listening. I'm telling him things and I'm listening to what he has to say. Those things are not just one more thing I have to do on my list. Those are things that's just the way I live. so every day when my feet hit the ground, I'm excited to be awake. I'm excited to be alive. I'm excited to see what he's going to show me today that I had not seen before, what he's going to reveal to me that I hadn't known before, a new depth of his love that I did not know existed before. Every day becomes an adventure. Every day becomes a thrill. Even when it's hard, even when it's painful, even when it's complicated, I'm like, I know there's something in here you're going to show me. There's something in here you're going to give me. And step by step, and bit by bit, I'm building my life on his love. And it's a work of art. In the New Testament, Paul writes to us and he says that the Lord is creating in us a masterpiece. You are a masterpiece. My life is a masterpiece because of what he's building. And in my partnership with him, I'm building on his love and creating this magnificent work that comes through exploration and discovery.
Amen. I want to continue on, but I have to do this. Somebody is having pain or has pain in their left shoulder, I believe. Might be both shoulders. Left shoulder, stand up. Got pain. Left shoulder. Wow. Okay, anybody else? Hallelujah. Live stream, thank you. Live stream. Anybody on live stream? We have a online pastor, you can comment. Which camera am I on right now? This one? No? Wherever you are, if you have pain in your left shoulder, I want you to just stand, even at home, if you can, stand. All right, hallelujah. So here's, I also heard this. I don't know if it's one or all of you, maybe somebody watching that has pain in your left shoulder, you also are struggling with the knowledge that God loves you unconditionally and that you are worthy of his love. And I don't know which one, if it's anybody in here, just raise your hand. If you're standing and you've been struggling with that, raise your hand. Go ahead. It's okay. It's okay. Yeah. Okay. All right. Would somebody around them just grab hold of them? Just lay hands on them right now. Come on. Somebody that's standing, if you're near them, stand up, lay hands on them. Come on, gather around. There's somebody in the back here that needs you. Somebody back here. The far back. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus that you love us more than anything, more than we could ever comprehend. Father, we thank you that your perfect love drives out all fear. And in the name of Jesus, we receive your perfect love. Father, right now, those who raise their hand, even at home, Father, thank you, Lord, for revealing your perfect love to them. Thank you, Father, that they are receiving your perfect love right now and that it's casting out all fear. I thank you, Father, that every lie of the enemy is crushed under your feet. And Father, I thank you that all shoulder pain, all the aching, the pain, the stiffness, the inflammation is leaving these bodies right now in the name of Jesus. I command every inflammation, every pain, every joint issue to cease right now in Jesus' name. I thank you, Father, for bringing healing power right now into their bodies, into these shoulders, in the name of Jesus. Now, if you're standing, if you stood up for that, I want you to exercise your arm. Move it around. Move it around. Whatever one was hurting, move it around. Lift it up. Lift it up. It up. If the pain is gone, I want you to sit down. If the pain is gone, I want you to sit down. If you feel like you just received healing, I want you to sit down. If you're not, I want you to keep standing. Still feel it? Yeah? You still feel it? You still feel pain? I don't think she feels pain over here. Hallelujah. Okay, come on. Let's pray again. And this time I want you to lift your arm up. Whatever one is hurting, I want you to lift it up. It's not that there's a secret formula or anything. We're just saying we trust you, Father. Father, I thank you in Jesus' name right now that this pain cannot stay in this body, in these bodies. In Jesus' name, come on, you say it. If you're standing, you say it in Jesus' name. I command this pain to get out of my body. I command this infirmity to leave my body. Come on, if you're in the congregation, say it out loud. I command this pain in the name of Jesus to get out of these bodies right now. In Jesus' name, I thank you, Father, for complete healing manifested right now. I receive it. Receive it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. How are they feeling now? Better? Better? Okay. Amen. Hallelujah. You received a communion cup when you came in. If you did not receive one, we want you to have one if you'd like to take communion with us this morning. If you did not receive a communion cup, raise your hand. Keep it up until they bring you one. Keep your hand up until they bring you one. If I could have the ushers come, several hands up on both sides. Keep your hand up until they bring you one. If you have a cup, you can go ahead and prepare. Tear the top lid off and reveal the wafer and take that. Need some up here, Charlie. Right over there, Charlie. And then if you come up here to the platform, they need some. Ellen, you can get these. Take it over there. As you're preparing the communion cup, I want to say that what we're about to do here is a representation of the perfect love of God. This is what this is. We do this in remembrance of the perfect love that was poured out for us. We do this in remembrance of the price that was paid for our worth. This is how worthy we are. Everybody hold this up. Hold the cup up and the wafer up. And I want you to say this. This is how worthy I am. Say it again. This is how worthy I am. This is it. This is what God did for us. Isn't that powerful? I mean, when you hold up this cup that represents his blood and this wafer that represents his broken body, isn't that powerful to think that this is how worthy I am? That God would come down to earth in the form of a man and be tortured and murdered on my behalf. That's how much he loves us. That's how worthy we are. So this is what I want you to do this morning. I want you to take the wafer, hold it up, and say, thank you, Jesus, for your broken body. Break the wafer and take it. And hold up the cup. Say, thank you, Jesus, for your blood that was spilled for me. I receive it. Take the cup. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, that you poured out all of your love upon me. I receive your love today. I receive your love today, Father. I receive your love today. Never again, Father, will I walk in doubt. Never again, Father, will I walk in striving. Never again, Father. I trust your love, Jesus. Can you say that to him? I trust your love, Jesus. I trust your love. One last thing, and then we're going to worship before we close service today. I want you to stand up for a moment, and I believe there are many people in this place today that even though just now you've fully received the love of God, or maybe you knew that God loved you unconditionally, but There's some lonely people in this place today. One of the scriptures that I read, part of that scripture I read, is that if we love God, then we will love each other. If we know His love, then we're going to love one another. And there are people that just need to know it. Just need to know that you love them, that you're thinking about them. You may not even know them, but God may have laid them on your heart just as you're sitting here today. And this is what I want you to do. I want you to get out of your seat. Don't just do this to family members. Do it to family members. They need to know it too. But don't just do it to family members. Get out of your seat and you go love on some people this morning. Hug them, love them, tell them that you love them, that God loves them, that you're glad that they're part of this family. Would you go do that right now? Go.
Are cast as far as the sea. You're rebuilding me. And all the opinions and all of the struggle are casted into the sea. And you're rebuilding me. And all the opinions and all of the struggles are casted into the sea. You're rebuilding me, and all the opinions, and all of the struggles are casted into the sea. You're rebuilding me, and I can see clearly now.
One more time.
And I